Before she was queen, Princess Victoria had 132 dolls. Dutch wooden jointed dolls, each small enough to fold into the princess's hand. They were simple-faced, benign smiles and flat black curls painted onto their round heads. But each was lavishly outfitted in silk and satin and tulle and seed pearls, and each was assigned a card that in the princess's terse young handwriting specified its name and station. Mademoiselle Porphyria Brocard, Countess of Deptford, Amy Robsart, Duchess of Clarendon, Countess of Rothsay and Children. Today, sleeping in their clean white boxes, or sometimes peering from glass display cases at Kensington Palace, the dolls still show signs of a little girl's love. Rips in the tulle, frayed ribbons, faded bodices. Princess Victoria, cowed by a mother who wanted the throne for herself, seldom allowed outside, and denied the pleasure of reading novels, played with her dolls until she was almost 14 years old. Even as an elderly woman, in an interview with Punch magazine, she remembered the names of her dolls, their costumes, their family details. The ballet dancer Marie Taglioni, in William Tell costume, had no sisters, she insisted, contrary to her interviewer's belief. Many of the dolls' costumes were sewn by Victoria, and the detail work done by her governess, Baroness Lejeune, the only unconditionally loving figure in young Victoria's life. It was Lejeune who fashioned each doll's costume after a member of the English royal court. It was Lejeune who named them. And it was Lejeune who made a doll of the young Victoria herself, so the princess could learn how to address her courtiers. Due in large part to her own patience and stubbornness, as a young woman of 18, Victoria would take possession of the throne, and she would not let it go until her death at the age of 82. Imagine this, a sullen, sunk-chinned princess, seated alone at the grand dining table in Kensington Palace, a kingdom of dolls laid out before her, teaching her how to be queen. Did her power-hungry mother ever watch her in her silent play and think, good, she's only playing with dolls? When I was a little girl, I collected dolls, and when I wasn't collecting them, I was making them. I wanted to be a doll maker and announced my intention to family and friends. I subscribed to Doll Magazine, a publication whose target readership was menopausal. I went to doll auctions with my mother, where I used my birthday money to bid on what strange dolls I could afford. For example, I was proud to have won a felt-faced Lency doll from the 1930s, but the truth was her hair was so matted it held the shape of the box she'd spent the last 50 years in, and her arms were inexplicably homemade and sewn to her body in a slapdash way. I named her Sophie. I didn't have as many dolls as Princess Victoria, but admit that by the time I was 10, my collection was obscene. I had three American Girl dolls, a Bylow baby that belonged to my grandmother, a version of Jo from Little Women, a doll named Jean who was fashioned after a sultry movie star of the 1940s, my mother's original ponytail Barbie, housed with every outfit in a shiny patent case, a family of miniature dolls that lived in a Victorian house that was taller than me, a sorority's worth of Barbies, Maxies, and Skippers, a pair of rag dolls named Violet Pickles and Ruby Buttons, a porcelain doll with bouncy sausage curls, a Highland Dancer doll poised on one leg to do the fling, and a Mennonite doll without a face. Eventually, bothered by her lack of expression, I drew one on her with magic marker. These are just the dolls I remember. But making dolls, that was where my passions lay. Any material was fair game. You could sew a face onto a sock, that was a doll. You could twist up some pantyhose and stuff it with batting and make a flop-limbed doll. You could draw a doll if you were any good at drawing. You could get a naked plastic doll for a buck at Honest Ed's and sew your own clothes. My trademark dolls were made in this way. I'd take the cover of a book I liked, usually something with a strong-minded heroine, Anne of Green Gables, Pippi Longstocking, or something my mom bought me at a church bazaar, some hardcover from the 1940s with a line drawing of an interesting girl, and color photocopy it at Kinko's. Then I'd cut out the heroine, and with patience and a steady hand, laminate her with clear scotch tape so my fingers wouldn't crinkle a hole through her where she was clutched. Sometimes I still find these paper dolls tucked between pages of my favorite old books, and the feeling is like in dreams where I discover a new and luxurious set of rooms branching off from my own one-bedroom apartment. I made this doll, and I loved this doll, and I still love it as much as I did then.